You're listening to the New Community Podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope that this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Tonight, we've got just a special friend with us. His name is Mirek Kulix. If you've been here a number of years, you've met him before. He's spoken on a Wednesday night. I've known Mirek personally for about 10 years, and Rick has known Mirek for about 30 years. They spent a year in Russia together. You've heard Rick talk a number of times about the year him and Terry spent in Russia. Well, it was in Russia. Mirek was there that same time that they met and developed a friendship. And I can just say this about Mirek. He loves God's people, and he loves God's word. I got to spend most of yesterday with him, from tacos in the morning to burgers at lunch and coffee in between. And we just kept saying, hey, what about this passage? And what about this passage? And every passage that he and I would end up talking about, he would say like four or five things. He's like, well, I've always thought like number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. I'm like, hold on there, pops, I need paper, right? And everything he said, I'm just like, this is really rich. This is really insightful. He's probably not going to talk about any of that tonight. But what he is going to talk about tonight, I think, is just going to be a fresh take on a story that you may or may not be familiar with. But he loves God's word, and he's going to communicate it to you with all of his heart. So.
Wow, it's all because of Jesus I am alive. Amen. Good evening. Well, it's I won't say this from my heart, it's great privilege to be at your service. I mean, to sit there and be at your service is a great privilege, but standing here, I can say this about your pastor, is act of trust and friendship and a huge privilege. I love you, Palm Valley, and I bring you greetings from Poland. You know, it's almost everybody around me in Poland, all my friends, ministers, preachers, listen from your pastors. They listen. We use your little app on our phone. And you are a great blessing for many people far away from here. I know you bless people in Africa, and I won't say you also bless people in Poland and Czech Republic. Thank you. Yeah, it's really, you know, so good to standing here. I understand that it's kind of not my league, you know. It's too high, but here I am. And thank you to having me here. Today, I want share with you something that I saw in the Word of God just less than a week ago. I think that was the first day of Friday. I guess first day, I take a little walk in our village, and you know, it's sometime, it's some scriptures you study many, many times in your life, right? Or you heard many, many sermons from it. But sometimes the Word of God starts to talk different. For example, me personally, I preach from this part of the Word of God a few times. But this time, Lord, show me something different. Maybe I will start this way. Every Christian is like, let's say, it's like an example. Every Christian is like a water. There is no something such as dry water. Have you ever saw dry water? Oh, water is always wet. And every Christian is like a water. And if it dries, it's gone. It's not Christianity anymore. There is no Christianity without discipling of Jesus, without being disciple. I personally teach to my churches that if you are not disciple of Jesus, if you're not following Jesus, a church lost sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's better to go somewhere and build maybe a models or spend time somehow different, because if I am not disciple, why to be in church, right? We are here because we want to follow Jesus, amen? You know, one anthropologist once translated the prayers of this primitive, simple Indians living in the South America in the jungle. They build their little god and they start to jumping and dancing around and they say some words. So he really wanted to know what they say. And here he translates, and you know what they say? They just pray that there would be something to eat, not to be sick, and that nothing would fall on their head. Amen. So simple, you don't need any theologist for this, you know. But what if my relationship with God, with Jesus, is this way? God, I just want some food, I want to be healthy, I want to have a good job. Here is a Sunday, week is my, Sunday is yours, leave me alone. It's not Christianity. This is not the way the disciple of Christ is living. You know, today when we listen to the news, when we listen to politicians in Europe and in America and all over the world, you agree that more often and often we hear it on TV, the people say that this world getting darker and darker. You agree? That's what people say. And once when I listen to this, I start to think, what mean the world get darker and darker? Actually, the darkness is just lack of light. You are the light for the world, the Church of Christ, Church of Jesus. That's why it's so important to follow him and learn from him. It's getting darker because it's less light. So I know you have quite the same way as we do in Europe, you know, as they do in Poland and Czech Republic. Usually Wednesday is time for teaching. Usually when I come to the pulpit on the Wednesday, I do not preach a great message. Usually I try to teach, and sometimes Holy Spirit turns the message, you know. So let me read from the Luke 7. It's easy to remember, 7:11. Luke 7, verse 11, and further. Everything you need, 7:11. Can read this in day and night. I know I read English a little different than you, but. Verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on, and the bier stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has approached among us," they say. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countries. Amen. Before we get deeper to our story, let's see what happened before, just for a context. Before, when we start to read Luke 7, we will see that Jesus healing the servant of the Roman centurion. Who was the Roman centurion? It was an important man. It was hard to say, "Hey, you are nobody." No, it was an important man. He helped Jewish people, but men like him, they can also kill many people. But he have a support of Jewish friends. Generally, we know from the scripture that he was a good guy, deserve attention and help. He built even a synagogue, you know that. Then, when problems come, then he turns to be a man of great faith. That's what Jesus called him. That's what Jesus said. You know, he was the one who say, "Lord, I'm not worthy, but just say a word." He know that whatever Jesus say, it will happen. So Jesus healed his servant. It was a great day for important man. Everybody know him. And then now we are moving about 32 miles, or if you want 53 kilometers. And here Jesus meet another person. Let's see a meeting with a poor, lonely widow. We understand that little widow and a big centurion. It's hard to compare them. He gave a lot of money. He built synagogue. She did not build a synagogue, and probably she gave very little. And this takes us to point or lesson number one that I see in the scripture. What I see here is two crowds, two directions, and two moods. You can see this in verse 11 and 12. You know, nine. They coming to that city called Nine. Nine meaning, you can't believe what is the meaning of nine. It's not nine like nine. Nine meaning pleasant, delightful place. And here they carry a dead man. Two crowds, two directions, and two moods cannot pass through one gate. There's only one gate and two crowds. Each of crowds has a different central person. Kind of, we can say, following different needs and different person. Each of these crowds has a different central person, and first crowd walking directly, they are direct by dead. The other crowd, the second crowd, the people with Jesus are leading by life and joy by our Savior. And here they meet. Little gates, two big crowds, Jesus and a little lady. She was a widow. You know, for that time, we have to understand something. Today, widow and 2,000 years ago, widow are two different persons. Today, we would say she was without hope. A lonely woman without insurance, no retirement, no future. She know that soon after the ceremony, she will starving to death without food. Probably she lost her little house. She will lost their little house. It was nothing good in future for her. On the other side, he was the Messiah, the winner of death, the winner of hopelessness. And I want you to see that one of this crowd must change the orientations and view. One of this crowd have to do something. And why I say this? Because I have an important question to you. Or let's say this different. I have important question about you, about me, and about people we love and know. In which crowd I go? What one of this crowd I am in my life? That I going and complain, sad, disappointed, angry, lonely, it's nothing good anyway. What does Jesus teach me in these words? I would say in verse 13 we have some more lessons. On, let's say, point or lesson number two. You must what? See. What do we need to see? Because sometimes we have to want to see, but sometimes we don't want to see. We turn our eyes away because vision, something what we see, will force us to act, right? We do not want to act because we don't want the problems with our consciousness, you know. I will give you an example from Poland. I know you don't have such problem in US, but we have such problem in Poland. Sometimes they work on the road and you drive on the freeway or highway, it's the two lines, and two lines become a one line. So cars have to somehow from two lines go to one. And you won't go to the right one, but the guy in the car right there, right on your right, he just kind of pretends that he not see you. You're trying, but he's looking in front. I know you don't have such people, but you know, we are Slavic people. We are wild. So I look on him, but he don't see me. My car is bigger than his car, but I'm invisible here. Because you know what will happen? If he give me one look, he will stop and let me. When you see something, you're acting different. Yes. Vision and sight. In the Bible, you know, if you study the Hebrew, the way that Hebrews see the Bible, the Bible teaching, the teaching about God, the vision and the sight are strongly related to faith in the Bible. Usually if you blind, you not believe. If you believe, your eyes get open. You can find tons of examples of this in the Bible, that vision is very related to the faith. And this takes me to the point number three. Jesus looking here. You know, sometimes the people around us need our look. They need us to see them. That's what makes us very special in this world. That's what makes Christianity very special. We will see something what the other don't want to see. So the point number three, Jesus was moved with compassion. That's how he react for what he see. His heart went out to her. It will not help anyone, but it's a good start. You can say amen. Yeah, it's a good start. Oh, I'm so touched by your situation. I'll see you tomorrow. This will not help, but it's a good start. This is not the end. This is not why Messiah come. You know, the Messiah didn't come to say, hey, people, I'm so sorry about you, but all of you are going to hell. My. This is not the message of Messiah. Bible teaches do not stop doing good, right? No. Compassion, you know, compassion without action is indifference, kind of in the nice box. But it doesn't help. Let me explain how God teach us about how what is the God's view about this situation. I will go to the different story. We're not going to read from the Bible. You know the story very well. A story about Good Samaritan. You know the story, right? Shows us how to cooperate with Jesus. He teaches something here. We have a man. He was rubbing, you know, they beat him. Here he's almost dead. And we know very well the story, the Levite and priest pass it indifferently. They don't care. And here they're coming a Samaritan, you know. These two guys before, Levites and priest, if you go closer to them, you know how they smell? They still smell the temple, prayers, singing songs, so spiritual. But they're passing away. Here is coming Samaritan. He didn't have a temple because the Jewish people torn down this temple a few years before that. But he saw the beaten man. And you know, the early church, teach this story in a little different way. If you study the fathers of a church, you know, you will see that the church in the first and second century teach this little different than today we understand the story. And of course, it's okay, because what we understand, we say, here is the Levites, here is the priest, here is the Samaritan, which one you are. And that's how usually a preacher preaches story, and it's good, okay, it's good. But like I say, the early church teaches a little different from the different K. They say the Samaritan is the Jesus. The beating man laying on the road is you and me. It's just every sinner. The devil robbing us, beat us. And he raised us, and what happened in this story? He take him to a hotel, we can say hotel, right? To place when he take care of him. He gives money for 2 days, 2 denarii. And of course, the church on the first and second century don't say this. I say this, that it's interesting. The 1 denarii is the money for 1 day. And 1 day for the Lord is like 1,000 years. He give 2 denarii. But it's just my idea. But you know what he say? If this is not enough, he said, I will give you back when I return. It teach me something about church. The Jesus bringer sinners. The Jesus bring people who are robbing and beat by devil. And he said, you cannot heal them, you cannot save them, but you can carry for them. And he bring people to church. You are this hotel. He say, here is everything you need. You have all what you need. But if you give something more on my return, I will pay you back. You know, and disciples of Jesus act in the same compassion. We do not choose what kind of people will come to the church. God, the Holy Spirit, choose who will come and who not. Jesus bring them to us, and all what he say, love them, take care of. And this take me to the point or lesson number 4. Talk to people. And he say, don't cry. He say to the widow. Many years ago, it was said that the gospel must be not only spoken. Remember, if you are a Christian long time, often preachers say, it's not only about speaking. We have to do something. Even St. Francis, a few hundred years ago, was right that the gospel must be proclaimed in all ways, and he says sometimes even speak. But today we have problem. Today many of us just stop speaking, we're only acting. It's easier to give, it's easier to support something, easier to do something, but often we're not speaking. And this take me to the lesson number 5. He start to speak. Sometimes people need to hear from us. Hey. But then he go further. Point number 5, the power of touch. Lord teach us in this story to touch the situation of another human being. You know, by touching, what happens when you touch something? When you touch something, you can get dirty, right? From the childhood, I heard, don't touch this, don't touch, don't touch this dog, and maybe bite you. You hear this all our life. But maybe tomorrow, we will pass on the street a dead man carrying his misfortunate life in great loneliness. I won't tell you some testimony. I don't want now kind of bragging that I give to poor, but I believe it's a great testimony for many of us as the parents. When my son, he's now 23, when he was 18 years old, or maybe 19, you know, I pick up him from a school. And you know, when you pick up 18 years old boy from a school, he's hungry like a shark. I say, where do you want to go? McDonald's, you know. Everybody want McDonald's. You have McDonald's here? That sounds like it's a Polish restaurant. He said, I want to go to McDonald's. I take him to McDonald's. And you know, it was a winter evening, it was snowing, it was very cold. It was just, I think, 2-3 weeks before Christmas. And a homeless, lonely man was sitting just in the next building from McDonald's. So I go to him, I just hug him and I ask him, "Sir, did you eat anything today?" He told me he was not eating last 3 days. So I say, "Let me buy for you the, you know, I don't know, you have this in your menu, but we have a menu, it looks like a Big Mac, French fries, and a huge hot tea with lemon in the winter. I know you have a Coke." So that's what I get for him, you know, and I, of course, order food for me and my son, and I told him, you know, take this packet to this man on the street, and I will take our stuff to the table. He went there, and he begged about 2 minutes, and he had tears in his eyes. I say, "Hey, what happened? Did he say something to you?" You know, with the broken voice, he told me something. He said, "Daddy, I want to be a man like you." This is my testimony for you. You know, don't worry, touch. When you touch in the name of Jesus. Sometimes you touch more than you thought. I thought I just touched the homeless. But that day, I touched the heart of my son. And this brings me, thank you. This brings me to the number 6. Jesus interrupts. I will say, I don't know, it can be said like this in English, Jesus stop things. You know, here they carry the body, he carried the dead man, and Jesus stopped them because he touched, he started to speak. They stood still, the word say. And of course we remember, don't stop doing good, but stop the evil things. We are here in the name of Jesus to destroy the works of devils. Amen? Yeah. And Jesus is like a big stop sign for devil and for evil thing. Sometimes those we love must stop. And I will say this way. I hope you will understand me. Stop in debt. Stop in alcoholism, hatred, addictions. Maybe I not say it's you, because I know that Wednesday is for crazy people. Only crazy people come to church on Wednesday. Normal people watching TV and rest. They are tired. They work. I understand you're not working. You are all day free and you come. But I know you're not here, but maybe it's your son, your husband, your wife, somebody you love, and we realized I have to do something to stop him, because if I not stop him, he will die. You understand what I mean? I have to stop sometime somebody who, you know, I have mothers and fathers in my church that every Sunday, when if you ask who need pray, they will raise their hand. And when, if you ask, for what do you want to pray? They will say, "Oh, please pray for my son, my daughter, my husband, my somebody I love." The devil destroyed their life. And Jesus stopped this. Gospel of Jesus, interrupt me, stop me on the way to hell, on the way to death. And Jesus can do this for everyone. And this takes me to point number 7. I have only a few minutes left. And I'm just in the middle of my sermon. So I will try. Number 7, Jesus restore. You know, it's no reason to stop the dead man if you cannot help him. If you stop somebody who is dead, he starts to smell bad. You have to restore things, you know, and that's what Jesus is doing. The dead man sat up and begin to talk. Have you ever seen more a beautiful picture? I believe in this verse you have a promise about somebody who you love that Jesus can restore. So many mothers want their children back. So many wives want their husband back. So many of us want that somebody who we love is not only stopped from dying, but also restored by Jesus. And you know what? Sometimes people say, hey, it's too late. With these drugs, nobody can get out. With this problem, nobody can help. But you know what Joel says? I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. I will repay. I will give you back. It's not too late. I'm a God. And here is point number 8 in lesson. Finally, here is the place to worship. Here is the place to worship. You know, the worship comes from the heart, from the joy. Sometimes, you know, we cannot be sometimes like a Saul. You remember King Saul? He liked worship music because this make him feel better. And it's okay if this make you feel better. But I won't tell you, this is not why God give a worship to our heart. This is not why he give us new song. He give us this because he do so much for us. He can do miracles, and he want us to joyfully, he want us to, with full happiness and heart, just worship him. That's what he gives. And today, in the final point, or lesson number 9, the gospel is powerful. We see two crowds. Where are you going? I know your graves look a little different than ours, but the gospel is powerful. This is the end of life without God and hope. And sometimes, you know, often when I have a funeral, I tell people, don't worry. Don't worry who put you to this grave. Just worry about who will take you out from this grave. And that's what I was trying to tell you today. And hallelujah. And just on the end, I want to share with you, now it will be a miracle. The guy who don't know nothing about English grammar will teach you something about Greek grammar. But this is on the end. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 and 5. For what I received, I pass it on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he approached to Cephas and then to the 12. I want to say something very important for you today. It was not just the sermon. I tell you something very true. Are you agree that Christ died? But you know what? It's past sentence. Are you believe that he was buried? Yes, but you know what? It's past sentence. Are you believe he approached to Cephas and Peter can see him? But this is past sentence. He was raised from the dead. He was raised on the third day. You know what we have here? Greek perfectum. That means present tense, deeper than present tense in the Greek. What other words says, that Christ is still risen. He is still alive. He is still, he can do miracle for you. Jesus is alive and I will be alive. Oh Lord God, I want to bless this church. I'm so thankful for these people. Oh, we ask you, Holy Spirit, give us an understanding of this word. Lead us back to our houses and families. Let us walk with hope, with great hope that Jesus can stop, can restore. He is alive. He is a Savior. God bless you, friends. Thank you for your patience. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.